written by Theodore Q. Oakhurst, narrated by Theodore Q. Oakhurst. First recorded 2025. And now, The Memory Traders. Prologue. The blood came from her side, hot and black against the cobbles. Sella Yinstag pressed her palm flat against the wound and kept moving. The midnight markets were shutting down, stallholders hauling tarps over banned texts, dousing oil lamps melting into alley mouths. She had maybe 90 seconds before the last of them disappeared and left her alone on open ground. Her fingers were slippery. Every step she left a print. Ahead, the old tannery wall rose 3 stories, its brickwork pocked with missing mortar where generations of dealers had stashed contraband. She knew this stretch. She had run it 100 times as a courier before she started asking questions about where the registry's surplus memories actually went, before she found the ledger, before she understood that the tax records were falsified and the wipe quotas were manufactured to keep the poor in debt. Now she was the contraband. She hit the wall at a stumble, used her shoulder to steady herself, and counted bricks from the rusted drainpipe. 7 down, 4 across. The loose one wiggled under her bloody fingers. Behind her, boots. Multiple pairs. Hitting the cobbles in unison, no attempt at stealth, she worked the brick free with her fingernails. 2 of them tore, and she bit down on the pain. She reached into the dark gap. Her hand found the oilcloth bundle she had cashed 3 nights ago. Inside, 6 unregistered shards, each one carrying a memory the registry had declared forfeit. A mayor who had tried to audit their books. A doctor who had refused to sign a wipe order. 4 ordinary citizens who had fallen behind on their remembrance taxes by a single season. She unwrapped 1 shard and pressed it into her palm, still warm, still glowing. It held the mayor's final memory, the one she had promised to protect. He had given it to her voluntarily, pressed it into her hand in a rain-slicked alley much like this one, and said, "If they find me, this is the only copy. Keep it safe. Keep it secret." She had kept it safe for 6 weeks. 6 weeks of looking over her shoulder. 6 weeks of sleeping in shifts and eating cold food because stopping to cook meant stopping to think about what she was doing. The booth stopped. Someone breathed, slow and deliberate, maybe 40 feet behind her. Sella did not turn around. She shoved the shard into the gap behind the brick, deeper than the others, past the spider webs and the rat droppings, into a hollow she had chiseled herself over 6 separate visits. The oilcloth bundle went back in after it. She slotted the brick into place and pressed until the mortar grit bit into her palm. "For Orin," she whispered, "may this memory outlive me." She had said those words to her brother the night he was wiped. He had been sitting on the edge of a steel table, hands folded in his lap, eyes already empty of recognition. She had promised him she would remember for both of them. She had promised him she would find a way to bring him back. The lector hummed at her temple before she heard the footsteps approach. "Turn around, courier." The voice belonged to Magistrate Voss's personal enforcer, a woman named Harlow with a scar that split her upper lip and a lector rig that never left her hand. Sella had seen her work. She had taken confessions from people who had only been accused, not convicted. She had taken memories from children whose parents could not pay their taxes. She had taken everything from Orin. Sella turned. 3 of them. Harlow in front, 2 men flanking, all wearing registry gray with the silver memory knot pin at their collars. The alley behind them was empty. The markets were dark. No witnesses. Harlow smiled. "You led us on a lovely chase. I do love the midnight markets. So many places to hide things you should not have." "I do not have anything. You are bleeding on the queen's cobbles. That alone is a sanitation fine." Harlow stepped closer, her lector rig humming louder. "But I think we both know the real charge." Sella's hand drifted toward her courier belt. Empty. She had thrown her pouch into a sewer grate 3 blocks back, hoping they would stop to fish it out. They had not. She had hoped the decoy would buy her time. Instead, it had bought her nothing but a few extra seconds of running. "I want to speak to Magistrate Voss. You will speak to him later." Harlow gestured, and the 2 men moved forward. "He wants to harvest this one himself. Says she might know where the rest of the cash is hidden." They grabbed her arms. Sella did not resist. There was no point, and she needed them to think she was broken. Broken people got careless handling. Careless handling meant a gap. She had seen it happen before. Watched a prisoner go limp, and then spring to life when the guards looked away. She needed that gap. She needed to buy the shards 1 more day. "Search her," Harlow said. The men patted her down with practiced efficiency. They found the empty pouch. They found the spare shard in her boot, a decoy filled with nothing but a loop of her morning commute. Harlow held it up to the moonlight, frowned,